hey, you guys just came in, snuck up on us over here. Welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope y'all are having a fantastic day today. And you guys voted and it won. I put it on a big sale for y'all. The product of the week, Prostate Support, on sale for over 10% off right now. Be sure to get that on sale. You guys voted. You railed over the creatine. I know everybody loves the creatine formula. It's a great formula.
It helps memory. It keeps the brain hydrated.
Yeah, it's really important. But I had everybody vote the next day. Prostate won, maybe because it was out of stock for a month. This is one of those products that I told you guys about the other day. If you're taking this product specifically for overall longevity, health, so forth, make sure you're having that in stock a little bit longer, maybe a month or 2 months supply. And I say that with any major product that you need to utilize every day, because we do the best we can at Health Masters to keep everything inventory control as best as possible. And we do a darn good job at it. However, sometimes we have things that come up, like a raw doesn't pass assay testing and we have to scrap it. That happens sometimes. Rarely, but it happens. So what happens is...
It happens when we'd like it to happen.
Yeah, and so we have to scrap the batch, and we've got to restructure it, get it back in, retest something, and redo it. And when that happens, it puts a big delay. Sometimes it can be 4, 6, 7 weeks on a product. And when that happens, you know, we try to communicate that with you, but it's just something we deal with because we're so picky. Now, we'd have to do that if we didn't want to. We just throw it together, and I say, hey, Dad, let's get some more raws from China. We love Chinese product with all their mercury and arsenic and lead. Just throw that in there and not care. But what's going to happen is,
if you get a China product, you got to make sure you assay.
Oh, if you get anything out of China, it's got to be like triple assayed. You get a testing before it ships. You get a testing when it delivers, and you get another testing before you use it in the batch. But that's why I try to stay away from China as much as possible. So, again, that's what happens sometimes with products. It gets delayed. Sorry for the inconvenience on that, but it does happen. So stay up to date on it.
Okay, when are we getting the HGH stimulate back in?
That should be in. Hopefully, that's already batched and done. It's in it's in testing right now. So it should be going to final packaging next week. So I would say probably by the beginning of June, we should be ready to rock and roll. We switched over on that product. That's one of the reasons why I was delayed. We're no longer using folic acid in it. We're using 5-MTHF, the 5-methyltetrahydrofolate. We've always used folic acid just as a standalone because it wasn't that necessary of a product for the need of folate. And the thing was, we decided, you know what, everything else we use now, we switched to 5-MTHF, which is, it's the methylated bioactive formula of folate that pretty much anybody can absorb. Some people can't absorb folic acid if they don't have the correct enzyme in their body. And so the main reason behind that was an antioxidant factor. We're just stepping the game up, and we want to make the product completely the best we can across the board. So we use the old formula up. It's gone now. There's a brand new batch, and this is going to have the 5-MTHF in it.
You know, the folate also really helps with the conversion to nitric oxide, so we have to have that in there. And also, it's just it rounds out the product.
It does.
By the way, they found giant jars now full of human bones and muscles and lower organs and from thousands of years ago that are sealed up like a...
That's what we're going to start with.
Yeah.
All right, let's go there. It's Thursday.
Well,
how big were the femurs?
Well, they were like in a snack jar, like a Tupperware.
Oh.
Something was eating them.
Small.
It's like somebody's taking them out. They say, oh, they're burial jars. No, they're not. And these Nephilim, these things in the Old Testament, they were huge.
Well, that's why I was asked. The reason why I said the question of the femur.
Read the book of Enoch.
Yeah, is you can always have a general basis on the height of an individual based on their femur bone. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is you sometimes have these skeletons. Well, we found these skeletons. The femur was 8 feet long, and I'm like, whoa. Oh, sorry. Bisonius picked it up. It's in a warehouse now. Nobody can see it anymore. Like, what? That happens a lot. Now, there's been numerous reports of people that I know in South America that have been involved with people that have done archaeological digging and stuff, and they say, well, stuff like that happens when those skeletons gets uncovered. Makes a local news report that's gone.
One of my favorite scenes was in Troy with Brad Pitt. This is basically the Brad Pitt who's not a transgender.
Correct.
Like, I'm not watching the new one. They have the gay.
Well, okay, let's clarify. Brad Pitt's not a transgender in the new one. He has nothing to do with this new film. It's not even Troy. You brought that up. It's not even a Troy film. It's about the whole thing with the Iliad and the Odyssey.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they know. They listen to the show.
Well, some people don't. We have new listeners. And they're thinking now Troy. They're thinking Brad Pitt's a transgender in a new movie.
No, the guy who plays Achilles in the new movie is basically a tranny. You know, but weighs about 110 pounds. He's Achilles, you know, the massive warrior who's made the epic tales all possible, I guess.
I let Hunter watch F1 the other day.
Good movie.
He loves the beginning because I took him to the Daytona 24 Rolex Cup. And if you notice in that movie, that's the first race that Brad Pitt does in there. He's in the GT3 RS mm-hmm. Cup car at the Daytona 24. Hunter sees him, goes, I know, right there. Where was that? So that's actually almost right where we part with our buddy's motorhome, watching the race on the roof. He's like, oh, wow.
I can't believe how loud those things
that's
are.
That's a wild track, too, the way they do it. It's all night. By about 2 a.m., you start getting numb to it because it's all night. You finally just go to bed.
Well, back to my story.
Anyways, I digress.
So at the beginning of the movie, they have these two armies coming together. King Agamemnon wants to take over this city or this country, and they two armies meet on the field.
Right.
And they said, well, why don't we just finish this in the old ways? You know, one of your warriors fight one of our warriors, and everybody go home, and whoever wins gets control of the other guy's army.
Yeah, save all the bodies.
Yeah. So they go find Achilles. He's chilling out, has a date. Don't watch the kids watch that part of it. And they come in, and they get him. They wake him up, and they said, why aren't you, you know, in battle? And finally he goes, well, I'm taking a nap here. I'm paraphrasing. If you've seen the movie, you're laughing by now. And so what happens is they said, well, you need to come out. And there's a kid who gets him out of bed. He goes, I wouldn't want to fight this thing. God, man's a giant. And he goes, that's why they'll never remember your name. That was really
good.
That was
really
good. Yeah? And so he goes up there. And so this guy comes out. They're trying to make him look like he's like 8 feet tall, like Goliath, right? 9 feet tall. And he's a massive bodybuilder.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
I mean, he's about.
I think they CGI'd him up a little bit taller, though.
Woo, he's big.
He's tall.
And he comes out there. He starts pounding his chest with a sword. And Brad looks at him like, ho-hum, ho-hum, right? You know, Achilles. And they said, and finally, you know, the king, Agamemnon, starts fighting, arguing with Achilles. And says, why aren't you here? And he goes, tell you what, why aren't you fighting?
Yeah.
He turns around and goes, walk off. And he goes, oh, no. And he says, Achilles, you can save all these men today. And he goes, you need to do this real quick. And Achilles says, ah, whatever. Someday the kings will fight their own battles. Says that. And so what happens, he ends up basically just running towards this giant, kind of like David did Goliath, right? And this guy's monstrous, and he gets to him. The guy's throwing spears at him, everything else. The giant thinks it's a joke. And Achilles jumps up on him and puts a knife
right through the lung
and the heart. The big guy just bumped right in his face. And he goes, who are you, soldier? He goes, I'm Achilles. He says, I remember the name. And the point was, you know, these entities that were here, now you're getting to the point, right? The entities that are here, that were here from the Nephilim, they were monsters. And so some of them were, some people say they're 100 feet, 200 feet tall. So to them, that big jar that's 10, 12 feet full of body parts, they would basically say that would be a snack pot for them. That's
well,
how big
like,
they were.
What's it called? It's like, what do they call it? The mason jars.
Yeah, that's what it was.
When you,
it was a giant mason jar.
For them, it would be a little, you know, yeah, put your peppers in it.
Yeah, well, you basically go in and you're putting stuff away. And you're
it's disgusting, bro. I got a lot of health stuff to cover today besides people putting other people in jars.
They weren't people. They were giants.
Well, whatever was in the jar.
That's why God flooded the planet.
Right. So
I just got off John Moore this morning. We were talking about this crazy stuff.
Right. Well, this is healthmasters.com, and thank you for your support of Health Masters. We're here to bring you guys the highest quality supplements and health news every single day.
Okay, let's do it again. Welcome to the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Let's go, Austin.
Back at it now. This is a topic that I am glad has been addressed now and has gone completely national public. Report released today by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, as the Office of the Surgeon General includes a toolkit that gives parents, schools, and communities practical tools of better to protect their children and adolescents from the growing harm of excessive screen exposure. The report now is announced saying the press conference is part of a Take Back Your Health tour. They went on to say children are spending more time on screens than sleeping, exercising, and interacting with family, friends, and together.
They're going to have eye problems.
Oh, the eye problems is just the beginning of it.
We're going to talk about this right now.
Oh, yeah. This is a big factor of it. There's never been a generation that has started on basically digital screens almost from birth, guys. I mean, the other day I was walking. I was in a mall in Orlando, and this lady was pushing a stroller. And the baby, and I've had a couple of kids, probably 6, 7 months old. I mean, there's not much dexterity there. And they had a doggone iPad mounted on the stroller for the kid to sit there. I mean, at 6 months old, you can't even do it. They had an iPad playing. And I'm sitting there going, at that age, the kid doesn't even care about watching an iPad, really. I mean, you're going.
It will fix her attention.
It will, but you're almost going out of your way to distract them. And I mean, it's like God, Lee talking about using it as a pacifier. But again, what's the long term usage of blue light at that early of an age? And remember, it's not going to get better. It's going to get significantly worse the older they get. And you're already starting to train those dopamine receptors to crave those fast, intense changes in colors and lights and speed at an age that's almost unprecedented. And so it says here, children spend more time than ever. He said excessive screen time use is one of those urgent health challenges facing American children. The report comes from the Surgeon General's office, even though no Senate confirmed nominee provides parents with a summary of research. They said there's something we should have done for our kids a long time ago. They went on to say here, the report just comes after a week after federal lawmakers introduced the Smart Kids Act, which is basically recommendations for screen time limits for children based on independent, evidence-based studies. It suggests that parents create a media plan that includes no screen time for children under 18 months, less than 1 hour per day for children under six. Did you just hear that? Less than 1 hour a day for children under six. How many people do you know that have kids and they literally run around with tablets all the time? My kids don't even have them. I don't let them use my phone. They got no business being on a phone as far as watching stuff while we're eating. Now, Hunter's got a phone. It's called Gab that I got for him. It has zero internet connectivity, nor has it the ability to connect to internet. It's internet free, and it basically has a phone plan that I pay for a couple dollars a month, and it allows him to either text or call us or Uppa or his grandparents or so forth. And a lot of times he runs around on his bicycle or goes to his friend's house, and it gives us a little bit of ability to actually communicate with him in a safer manner. But there's no internet access, and quite frankly, he couldn't care less about the phone. In fact, the other day, now I got to figure out how to fix it. My 2-year-old son decided he was going to throw Hunter's phone in the pool.
I saw him do it.
You saw him do it?
No, it was funny. They were on the back porch, right?
Hunter wasn't even fazed. That's the sad part.
No, he didn't know what was happening.
Oh, okay.
No, listen, this I saw it in slow time. I saw it in real time. It was great. I loved it. So the Hunter has his phone up high on the countertop.
He had an alarm on it.
Know where the sink is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he decides that he wants to bring it down to make sure he goes back to your house, which is next door, behind the compound walls, the security gates, and the sentry guns. Just kidding. We don't have sentry guns yet. But I'm just kidding about that.
No, you're not.
Sort of. Maybe.
Maybe not. Allegedly.
Well, we have cameras.
Less everywhere. Lethal sentries. Put it that way.
We have cameras everywhere. We'll have Nerf sentries. It's not little Nerf pellets.
Pepper balls.
Oh.
Pepper balls. Less lethal.
Yeah. But anyhow, so the counter. So there's a bar on the back porch. And no, it's not a bar to have alcohol on. It's just a bar to have food on. And so he had.
Why you have to clarify? Nobody is going to accuse you of having a wet liquor bar at your house. I promise you that. You don't have to clarify.
Oh, awesome. We have new listeners. They don't know.
Touche. Okay, continue.
we've got it up on the food bar, and he's got the phone up there. So he says, well, I've got to be home, and I got to leave in 5 minutes. So I said, okay.
Yeah.
So he takes his phone, and he puts it over by the pool.
Yeah.
You know, down low where the. With the Kraken, you get a hold of it, and all of a sudden, it's so funny. Seth walks, grabs it, he looks at the phone, flings it into the hot tub.
No hesitation.
I'm going to immerse this. Gosh. And then Hunter grabbed it immediately, but it was underwater already. I said, is it still working? He goes, Uppa, I don't know. And I said, you let the Kraken get it. And he started laughing, and I said, oh, well, life does go on. I said, tell your dad I saw it in real time that you did not do this. And he says, okay, I'll tell my dad.
I bought it for Christmas so we could contact him. And again, like,
so it doesn't work at all?
No, it's done.
Let me tell you a funny story. We were sodding your yard one day.
Oh, yeah. Okay? I remember
me
this.
Me and Oma in Austin. And Oma had gotten a brand new iPhone. And she laid it upon the windowsill so it would not get wet or with sweat or whatever. And she was sitting there when we turned the sprinklers on. She left it on the
thing. Yeah.
It got hit with sprinklers. She walked over to it. Dead.
Yeah.
And luckily, by the grace of God, we had insurance on it.
Yeah.
Brand new phone. So she takes it back over to T-Mobile. Says, I need a new phone. I said, you got insurance on? Here's the phone. Here's a new one. She has a new one. So that night, she gets the phone. She's sitting in the kitchen. This is so funny. And she puts her feet in a bucket, basically.
Foot bath, magnesium. She would do that. She got great results with the magnesium salts.
For spinal stenosis.
Yeah, she did it every night.
Yeah, every night. So she's got there. She's messing with her phone, and she drops it in the foot bath. The same day she got it. And I looked at her. I just started laughing. I made sure I had insurance on again. And she looked at me and goes, had that look on her face. I said, I'm not upset. We got insurance, sweetie. Oh, and she goes, I hope it's okay. So she goes and packs it in rice.
Right.
Next morning, dead. And so she got another one. And so it reminded me of the Kraken the other day. Ugh! Throw the water. He's pulling the water.
And the joke with that, Atlanta got him a shirt a while ago. It says, Unleash the Kraken. Because a lot of times when
that's a two-year-old.
We let him out.
Curtain climber.
And it's just as soon as he gets out of his crib, there's one speed. Full throttle. 100% throttle. There's no brakes with him at all. It's as soon as his feet go down, he's like Fred Flintstone. He starts running everywhere. And he's like a tornado. But he's a good kid. He's super smart. He's just high energy. Quite frankly, if you put him in daycare, they'd probably try to have him on Ritalin already.
Honestly. Well, no, honestly. When I had him. I taught him how to use the water gun. I told you.
Oh, yeah.
And he was... Most water. I said, like, "Why don't we sit on the first step and I'll teach you how to do it." It was great. I mean, it's like 20 seconds he learned how to do it. I thought, okay, kid's smart. But what's funny about that is, you know, like Austin just said, how many people would say that kid's hyperactive?
Yeah.
I got to put him on Ritalin.
Or let's pacify him with screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put an iPad in front of him. We don't want him to run around. I've seen it before because he got a hold of one time with somebody. I think we were over at somebody's house, and they had some game thing on there. And, I mean, he latched onto it.
Oh, got to say something. Now, the cell phone that Hunter had, because he's 10 years old, had no access to the internet at all.
No, I just said that a second. Yeah, no.
I want to make sure they hear that.
There's only a couple companies, and Gab was one of the ones that I found. And there's no internet. You can't even send photos. You can't even text photos. Nothing. And so basically, your basic texts and phone calls. And like I said, it was the point where he runs around all the time on his phone running around on a bicycle.
The Kraken was probably bored with the phone.
Oh, yeah. And so this goes back to this as far as pacifying kids. It says no screen time under 18 months, less than 1 hour per day under 6, and 2 hours per day for children 6 to 18.
That's still too much.
2 hours a day, though.
For a six-year-old.
That's what they're saying is maximum. Think about some of these kids that are 6, 7, 8 years old, and they're on it all day. And here's the problem.
How about they're in school all day on iPads?
That's exactly what I was about to say. We're training these kids now not to even know how to actually handle or read real books. Everything's on screen. Everything's on touch. Everything's on basically their eyeballs taking in this blue light. And I guarantee you, and I'm already getting calls on this with kids that are the teenagers that are going into college, and they're already having issues having to wear glasses, and they don't have to have corrective reading lenses from an early age. They're having to start wearing glasses at 18 because their eyes are starting to get so cooked out because they've been on screens their whole life.
Well, the eye support.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to give you a little segue. We don't have any. I guess we're in the house. I got multiple bottles of the house.
It's interesting. It's a green capsule.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it's the lutein in it.
Oh, my gosh. I was having some issues. You know, my vision was still good, but I couldn't quite see. Things get a little fuzzy. I think to myself, well, I don't have cataracts. What's going on with this? And finally, I realized it was the screen time. And so I increased it to 4 a day on the eye support. And, wow, what a difference that made. I mean, they cleared them up within a week. I thought, okay. That works. So that's how good that product is. Now, I know it's pricey. I got it. I understand. It's expensive to make. That's why it's so pricey.
That's exactly right.
But the reality is, it was this guy basically who was on doing this infomercial. Say, we can fix your eyes, blah, 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 this, that, and that. And it's got, our formula is actually better than his was on the internet. So be careful when you start watching those infomercials. Well, click here to find out more. And you got to go through a 40-minute doggone infomercial until you find out that, you know, it's just a scam.
The lutein and the lysopine are really expensive.
And courses.
I know that. Yeah, the courses are really expensive. Oh, and by the way, giving y'all a heads up, the quercetin formula was updated.
We've improved it.
We've improved it. Get everybody. I apologize. I sincerely apologize.
We made it much more bioactive.
I didn't tell anybody about this. It was getting updated. So one of the issues we ran into with the old quercetin formula is sometimes because it's granule, it was having a hard time going in suspension all the time. And what happened is we made sure there's a new company. It's a patented formula where it's like 3 times stronger, and it's also a very, very, very fine powder.
Like a dust. I use
this
one.
Dust. It's like dust. And so it goes in the suspension almost immediately. So we went and we took the vitamin C. And I'll show you guys. Heck, I got the bottle right here. We went from 500 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams in the formula. And then we also, the quercetin went from 500 to 250, but that is because we're using quercetin, which is a basically super, super high potent extract
of
quercetin.
3 times as bioavailable.
And it also, it mixes up in suspension. Perfect. No issues with it at all. And so you guys can see this. The previous version was 500 to 500. This is 1,000 to 240 with the quercetin. And it works way better, mixes way better, and getting better results from it. That's one of the reasons why we changed that on there.
This morning, I got up. you know, I drag myself and my hair sticking straight up out like this, right? Out of bed. Walk, I had to do John Moore at 8 o'clock. I wasn't, is my hair still sticking?
It looks perfect.
Well, I got it trimmed yesterday, but my hair
everybody's going to accuse me of being a toupee. It's so
that's
perfect.
Why, don't you grab my head.
I'm going to grab your hair again. You got all mad at me last time.
It was awful. Just yanking on his
dad. Everybody was asking about it. And I was like, well, I'll just show you. I'm going to grab his hair. A bad idea.
I was messing with him. But it was sort of funny. But we don't do that twice. But the well, I'll do it for
but
you.
But we got new listeners.
Yeah. Oh, well, they see me. Okay. I'm pulling on it. It doesn't come up. Okay. And you know, it's so funny. So this morning I got up. And I'm in the kitchen. I'm in my boxer shorts. I'm wandering around. My weight's down about 8 pounds now from Christmas, thank God. And so I'm
looking, you look good. You're leaning up.
I'm looking pretty lean. I got about 5 more to lose. And don't send me comments that I shouldn't lose anyway. Just leave me alone. Let me do what I do. Okay.
Let me do what I do.
Well, no, I just never mind. So I get up. I get about that much water, and I put a scoop of the corset in. And I thought, this is pretty good stuff. It's powdery now.
Oh, you got the one that brought it. Yeah.
And then I can put a scoop of the vitamin C in there. Then I went and got the 350 billion probiotics. I stuck that in there, right? And then I put a scoop of the vitamin C, the probiotics, and the quercetin, and then I put 2 purple sticks on it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. How about antioxidant stuff?
Yeah, well, I had to get away for John Moore in 45 minutes, right?
I bet that got you going.
So I used my little electric spinner, which, you know, Austin thinks he laughs about that, but it really
works. Funny.
It works well. And what I noticed was the quercetin didn't settle in the bottom of the jug anymore, the jar. It mixed right up.
Then before you get it some sediment at the bottom. Yeah. I didn't like it.
And so then I hit it, and about 10 minutes later, I go, whoa! And I feel that.
Vitamin C
and purple
stick.
And that purple stick together. And then I was okay. I cranked it up. Did John Moore this morning. You'd like John Moore's show this morning. I don't normally promote John Moore's show during our show, but you'd like it this morning because I kind of covered a lot of stuff that's kind of esoteric. You guys have gotten a kick out of it. But to segue, if you're having jaundice, if you're having spots all over your hands and you got all kinds of age spots, which if you look at mine, I don't have any of those, you realize that there's something going wrong with you, it's almost always your liver. It's because of alcohol.
Yeah.
It's because of high fructose corn syrup. It's because of eating junk. It's just a lot of different things. Remember, the liver has to filter everything and manufacture all kinds of enzymes. The liver is like super important. The liver is so important that you can cut most of your liver out, leave a chunk in there, and it will regrow itself like a tail on a lizard.
And that's one of the issues with the high fructose corn syrup being in everything is your liver never gets the chance to recover and rebuild. It continually exhausts your liver. High fructose corn syrup
Batty
is one
liver.
Of the most toxic elements known to the liver. In some cases, it's worse than alcohol because of the dosages you put in it on a regular basis. The vast majority of people, if you drink on a very rare occasion, like for a Christmas party or something, you run some GHI cleanse, or we have the liver support and acyl-cysteine, you flush your liver out, you get back to going, you're good. Okay, whatever. The problem is a lot of people don't do that with high fructose corn syrup. They drink a soda in the morning, they drink a soda in the afternoon, they drink a soda in the evening. I mean, I knew a girl one time, one of Lana's friends, she was drinking 6 or 7 Mountain Dews a day. A day. She couldn't figure out how to lose weight. And she, I mean, I told her, I said, do me a favor. I said, you don't eat that bad. I said, she asked me how to burn fat. I said, just cut out the soda. 30 days. Give me 30 days with no soda. I don't even want you to change your diet. Your diet's not that bad. Diet same. I saw it about a month later. She's already down like 15, 20 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that fast. And she goes, I don't tell you. I feel so much better. I've already lost like 18 pounds, Austin. I said, change your diet? Said, no, exact same way. Now I'm just cut high for this corn syrup out with the Mountain Dew. And I said, that's how toxic that stuff is.
Signs of liver disease, jaundice, abdominal swelling, dark urine, pale stool, persistent fatigue. You're tired all the time. Easy bruising, nausea. Other ones, itchy skin, swelling in legs, confusion. You start losing your mind, weight loss, you can start getting, well, here's what happens a lot of times. You start losing weight, you start losing muscle tissue, but your liver gets swollen. And so you're walking around with these little bitty arms with like toothpicks, right? Like a little, whatever, this giant belly.
Yeah.
And I've seen this so many times, especially with people who drink.
Yeah.
And they get that
liquor liver.
And they start losing all that muscle weight, and it's a big problem. And so, and I'm not making any claims on this curing anything. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying, this helps support a healthy liver.
It was GHI.
Yeah.
I had Dexter call me last night. He needs another half case of it. Yeah. From his girlfriend.
GHI, that's gastrointestinal, hepatic liver, I for inflammation. That's what it's for, GHI. It's for the gastric, the intestinal tract, the liver, and inflammation of the body. That's what it does to help support the body's liver to maintain healthy. Now, you know, that product has turned into one of our best sellers.
It has been for a while. And he called me last night. He's got a buddy who's a lineman who's had basically leaky gut. basically all kinds of issues with colitis for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. Guy's constant colon problems. And he'd say, start taking 4 scoops this day, 2 scoops, 2 scoops. And one can has almost completely cleared it up. He's not having any gut problems anymore. Guy's like, dude, I need more. I need more like now.
Do you remember that guy?
I'm not making claims. It's what he told me last night.
You remember we had that guy had the same issue. He had pancreatitis, had colon problems, and intestinal problems. And he cut a tree down for me in the front yard. In fact, he cut 2 trees down. He stumped around them, hauled them off. And he's out there bent over one day. He's taking him a couple of days to do it. Him and his wife are out there and another helper. And I said to him, dude, are you okay? So I got really, you know, bad intestinal problems. I got really bad, you know, spastic colon. He's just listening to all stuff. I said, try some of this. So I gave him a half a can of the house. And he calls me up like 2 days later and goes, what is in that stuff, man?
Yeah.
And I said, well, it's specifically designed to help you maintain a healthy liver and intestinal tract. Man, I started using it for years. And he used it until he moved away. Now, I don't know what happened to him, but I mean, but he's swarping down that problem.
Wait, here's one of the factors a lot of people fail to understand. The same way alcohol stops production of lipase in the liver, high fructose corn syrup does the same thing. It reduces the production of lipase, which is one of the main enzymes the body needs to burn body fat. When it starts doing that, the liver becomes very unfunctional. It doesn't work very well at all. And so it's a constant chronic inflammation fight or flight standpoint because it's trying to burn off all this high fructose corn syrup and get the toxins out instead of actually burn body fat. When you take the GHI cleanse and you cut the soda and you cut all the toxic foods out, what happens is your body now starts functioning like it should. It starts cleansing itself out, which means it can actually start producing enzymes to start burning body fat. The body doesn't want to burn body fat if it can't figure out how to get the inflammation down. It's more concerned with surviving, not thriving. And that's the problem so many people run into is their bodies become so inflamed and so toxic that now, oh, I need to go jump on GLP-1s. I can't figure out how to lose body weight because I'm eating so much trash. My body's so toxic and polluted. I've got to jump on these basically GLPs to lose fat. And then you start losing enormous amount of fat and muscle tissue, and then you start having all these other health problems associated with the drug. Because in most cases, here's why. I can guarantee you, if somebody was really, really overweight, and they went on a full-blown detox diet and cut their calories where they needed to be and started doing GHI cleanse fast, and they used GLP-1s, like Ozempic, I guarantee you they would only need a very, very, very short amount of it for a very short time, and they wouldn't need any more. Why? Because the body would already start functioning like it should, and it wouldn't need that junk in its body. It wouldn't need to have synthetic Wegovy or Ozempic put in to burn body fat because it would start functioning like it should. That's why I tell people the biggest thing you got to start looking at is your diet. Get your diet under check. And I'm not saying you can't ever have some ice cream. You can't ever have some potato chips or something stupid or ultra-processed food. But limit the amount that you're eating and limit the amount how many times you're eating it. If you're going to eat junk food occasionally, set aside for something as a tool, not a crutch. I'm doing really good this week. I've been eating clean. You know, Friday night, I'm going to go out and get a Five Guys burger. Done. Easy. Body will process that pretty well once it's cycling up and it's doing well. But you can't sit there and go, well, I'm eating Chick-fil-A for breakfast. And I'm going to go eat Taco Bell for lunch. I'm going to McDonald's for dinner, and I can't figure out why I can't lose weight. I don't know why. And if you didn't really want to do it, go ahead and pair some pizza and beer at night. You want to talk about gaining body fat fast. Another way to lose fat really easy with diet is eating eggs. Here's a study that just came out. So could breakfast be your medicine? An egg a week may lower Alzheimer's risk. How many times have we talked about that? They said one of the approach might surprise you as far as with helping out with Alzheimer's disease, whole eggs. The study published in the Journal of Nutrition found that eating more than one egg per week was associated with a 47% lower risk of developing Alzheimer's compared with eating eggs less than once a month or not at all. Egg intake has been associated with better performance on test measuring the brain areas involved planning, focus, and decision making. I mean, that's why you've always been so good at that. You eat so many eggs all the time. Just one egg, like one egg a day.
You know,
I ate 4 to 8.
No, I went to Sam's about 3 weeks ago, and I've gotten 8 packs, 16 dozen eggs, and about a quarter of them were broken.
Oh, I know. You told me about that.
Well, it happened again.
Oh, again.
So they gave me another 16 dozen for free. They gave them to me. This last night, I cooked 2 dozen eggs, and I looked at them, and out of the 2 dozen eggs, there were about 12 that were okay. The other 12 were bad. They had cracks in them.
You just have to find another.
No. Then I cooked the 12, and 4 of those were cracked too, and I didn't see the cracks. I only got 8 eggs out of 2 dozen eggs, and I'm like, great. And so I put them all. I'm gonna take them all back again. And I'm like, I'm gonna talk this morning. Same thing. I got another dozen out, and it turned out that I had to go through almost 12 eggs, half the dozen, to find eggs that weren't messed up. When you break an egg into a pan and it doesn't maintain the shape on the yolk, you need to throw it away. Something's wrong. Now, if it's just because you were sloppy trying to crack the egg, that's different. But if you're really careful with it,
yeah,
it shouldn't.
If you crack it, the whole thing's already mixed inside.
It's not right.
And especially if it's got a weird smell to it, or if it's starting to get really, really weird coloring.
I'm getting runny on the inside.
Yeah, if the white of the egg, because it's not cooked yet, it's like clear around the yolk. If that's already starting to get a real weird color, starts getting yellow or brown without the yolk breaking, stay away from
it. And the thing about it is, and so I don't want to waste the money. I'm going to eat it. Do you really want botulism toxin in your body? Don't take the stupid dozen back to the grocery store and you tell them that what it was. They don't want any problems either. They'll be, most cases, unless they're idiots, they'll be happy to just give you another dozen eggs. I'm going to take these back again.
We may need to find a better source.
But I mean,
I'm
my
working
gosh.
On a local one in Palina City. And then here it says, eggs provide several nutrients to the brain. Depends on one of the most important is choline. Choline is a precursor of acetylcholine, which is the most important neurotransmitter for memory. They also contain antioxidants and lutein,
which help protect
brain cells from damage. Omega-3 fatty acids to support brain structure. Remember, lutein also is important for eyesight.
Last night, I had 5, 6, 7. I had 11 eggs yesterday.
Total?
And my weight was down a pound.
Yeah.
I had 11 eggs yesterday.
Remember the one guy? He did the fast, like 720 eggs over 30 days.
Yeah. I had three of them fried, four of them fried, and all the rest of them were hard-boiled egg salad. And you think, I can't believe you're eating that many eggs. How about your cholesterol? It's about 200, 220.
It's less than your blood work.
Yeah. My blood work was great.
But the doctors, be careful of this, because the doctors go, your cholesterol is 205. You need to go on statins immediately. Or you're going to die. You're like, God, I'm healthy. I feel great.
It's like they've got a little magic wand that throws curses on it.
They do that sometimes.
Oh, my God.
You're going to have diseases because your cholesterol's at 205. You're like, but I feel really good. All my hormones are perfect. Energy's great. Mental acuity's great. No, you need statins for your safety.
Peasant. I'm educated. You're not.
Aren't you guys the same ones that said the RNA gene therapy shot was safe and effective?
You know, most of them have died from that now, though. So.
Ironically.
Oh, by the way, Finnish divers, rescue divers, believe they have solved the Maldives cave dive mystery. They claim 5 lives with a sand wall illusion to blame. Okay, now, first of all, let me say something to you. Both Austin and I are scuba divers. Got it? I've dove down into caves before. Now, listen to me. But I never go into the cave deeper than the front chamber. I always see the exit. I don't ever go into.
I try to see sunlight.
I don't go. I go no deeper.
There's at least sunlight coming in somewhere reflected.
I don't do that. Now, these guys, whether they were using ropes or whatever, one of these divers had 5,000 dives.
That's a rarity to slip up like that.
No, and they had an instructor. They had a tour guide with them. And they all got caught in a secondary chamber, which had no exit. They couldn't find their ways out. It's pitch black down there.
Why? Yeah, but that's odd, though, for a diver with that many dives. Well, you should have known that.
Well, there was a sandbar obscuring something. I think they may have had some currents, and there may have pushed some sand
in front
of it.
They moved some
sand up. Whatever, but they don't know. But they found the 5 bodies, and it's a shame. That my condolences to the families. I mean, this is horrible.
It is.
But we've done a lot. I mean, I remember that one time you did that 110-foot wreck dive.
Yeah,
I forgot what we were.
120, that was a Nassau. That was a great dive.
But I remember you bumped your head underneath there.
Oh, about knock myself out.
Now, listen to me. And this is really important. I had a professor named Paul White. He was a great guy back in school. And when we were learning how to do it, he ties us up under a 12-foot deep pool. Ties us up with rope.
Yeah.
Okay? And you got one hand free. Everything else rope. And you're underwater tied up. Now, some of you are thinking, I'd get a panic attack from that. Well, that's the point.
Right. That's exactly the point.
Because he's standing there to pull you out. So then you have a knife that you pull out. And you got to cut yourself out of the rope. And I asked him one time, I said, you know, that's a bit much. Why do you do that? He goes, oh, God, the kelp beds in California. They got fishing lines all over them.
He says
a lot of divers have died because they get tied up in the fishing lines and they panic. He says, I don't want you panicking. And I thought, okay.
Yeah.
That was pretty smart.
Well, that's the thing. But
they don't do that anymore.
No, and the problem is with a cave dive like that, you're on a clock. You're on a real tight clock with your tank. And if you miss an opening or you don't know where you're going, you start getting basically spatial disorientation down there, and it becomes very problematic.
And you get scared, you start hyperventilating.
Because there was a really big ship down there we did. It was right on the cliff where it goes off, like 2,000 feet down in the islands. And I was following a buddy, I had a flashlight, and I was looking down at these fish, this real big ship, and I'd swim right into a doggone I-beam. I mean, head first. I won't wear a helmet either. And I had it. Bam! And I stopped, and everything starts spinning. I mean, I'm spinning. And I remember I'm 120 feet down. I'm on a clock. I burn air fast. I always have, just the way I breathe down there. And so I sit back, and all of a sudden I'm like, and I try to move, and I start hitting the top of the ship. So I'm trying to crawl back down, and I started getting real nervous. I sat there for a second. I closed my eyes, and I got my breathing right back down for about 30 seconds. looked back at my opening, crawled out, got back outside, felt everything kind of relaxed, chilled out the bottom, saw some more fish, and then basically started surfacing. But the dive instructor was mad because I came up, I gassed that tank. I was on like 300-400 PSI in the red when I got up. But I remember that very specifically, is that it only takes a few seconds to start panicking under that deep.
What happened to me, I hadn't dove in a long time. And they didn't have enough weight on me.
Yeah, didn't even do that dive.
No, I didn't do the dive. So I got in the water, and I started to go down, and I didn't have enough weight. And so I started pushing real hard to go down. I thought, wait a minute. And I started hyperventilating.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? This dive's done.
Done.
And you say, what do you mean done? I got out of the water, got back on the boat, and he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm done. I'm not doing this dive. It's a dangerous dive, and I'm a little bit short of O2 right now. I'm a little fuzzy. I ain't doing it. And he laughed at me. He goes, well, I ain't refunding your money. And I said, I ain't asking you to refund my money.
Yeah,
I'm good. So Austin comes up about 20 minutes later, and he tells me he had hit his head. I'm like, you know, I'm kind of glad I didn't do that. I'm sorry that happened to you. Then I did the next dive. I was okay. Yeah. But the point is, you've got to be careful. You talk about a dangerous thing, sport. This more, you know, there are two things that I do that are unbelievably dangerous. Number one is fly planes. That'll kill you dead.
Especially small planes.
Especially small planes, okay? That'll kill you deader than dead, especially if you rent other people's planes that haven't been properly serviced. That's super dangerous. A couple of years ago, I had my pilot friend who helped train me years ago. He was his instructor in Winter Haven, and he took off, and they had the lousy annual done, and the fuel line had collapsed from the tank to the engine.
Jeez.
Okay? So he gets up to about 150 feet off the end of the runway, engine dies.
Fuel cuts out.
Okay, well, he has no place to land but woods, so he pulls back over and lands on Highway 92. Lands right on the road.
He's a good pilot.
Oh, he's a good pilot. I'd fly anywhere with him.
A lot of people would have panicked at that.
Oh, my God. He lands on the highway. They hooked a tractor to the train.
Hit
plane.
Cars?
Nothing.
No cars.
They hooked a tractor to it, and they pulled him back to the runway, and they had to ease him through the gate. And I mean, it was unbelievable.
He's a darn good pilot, though, man. A lot of people panicked.
Hundreds of hours.
He went high enough. The problem is he had no elevation.
Couldn't make a turn. See, when you try to turn to go back to the runway,
with no power,
what happens is you lose lift because the wings are designed to fly this way, not this way.
Just drop
and
fast.
And just drop straight down. And so but he's great. I mean, the FAA, he had to fill in a report with the NASA report, and they didn't say anything to him. They said, congratulations, you're a great pilot.
Well, that's why you got to be really cautious when you start doing high-risk stuff like that.
You know, he's like 75 years old.
Yeah.
I'd fly with him anywhere. And the thing about it is, I don't want to fly with some old pilot. If they're mentally acute and they've got 30,000 hours of flight time and they're not dead, they're a good pilot.
That's true.
As long as you're mentally acute. But now, and also the second thing that you do is unbelievably dangerous, these scuba diving things. I haven't done that in a long time. I probably won't do that again. I'll do snorkeling instead.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm going on a dive in August now. I think we're setting it up. Be my buddy.
Well, you didn't tell me that. Well, now I got to think about it. I wasn't invited. This is awful.
Well, you're invited.
See how they treat me? This is horrible.
I just figured out last night.
Oh, by the way.
He's getting certified this weekend.
What's the next story?
This is a bubblegum story. You guys will like this. This is funny. Kind of like I told everybody this is what they were going to try to do with the fuel and raising it with Iran and using it to justify the price, even though they're massively overinflated. These companies now and oil companies are making record profits.
What does it have to do with Alzheimer's? Oh, you had
surging gas prices have more than half of car buyers eyeing EVs.
That's a lie. The EV sales are down.
The reason why I'm bringing this up is that exact reason, which you just said. Remember when I told you guys this crap with the EV cars, and I said, you want to buy these things, you want them to appreciate 50% the first year, go buy an EV. The only way you get into an EV, and I still don't recommend it, but if you want to get into one, is you get in a fixed lease that's closed. You keep it for 24 months, you get negotiated down to an unbelievably cheap payment.
It's a golf cart.
Chevy did that a while back ago. They had one. And it was like, see, the employee pricing, all these discounts. Buddy told me about it. I actually thought about it as just a toy. I was just going to go, you know, I don't know, jump stuff with it. It was like $5,000, $5,200 down, 2-year lease, no payments. And I was like, gosh, that's cheap. Like, I mean, that's like obscenely cheap. You're looking like, you know what, $200 a month to run this thing? And of course I didn't do it because they're EVs and they're gay. But the way I looked at it long term is that if you're getting one like that, okay, but buying one of these out and financing them and not putting any money down, you're asking to go so far upside down in these, you're going to need a doggone scuba tank to try to crawl out of it. And now what they're doing is Yahoo Finance and multiple other sites are coming to say, gas prices are up. Everybody's buying EVs now. You need to buy one because the prices are going to go up on EVs because of the demand. I started laughing hysterically when I read this article. It says cars.com. The survey found that more than half of car shoppers, 52%, said the rising gas prices, they're considering buying an EV now. That is complete and total crap.
EV sales are way down.
I've been in the car industry for over 15 years now. I've been heavy in the car industry. Go to SEMA almost every year, the auto show in Vegas. I know everything almost in and out with car dealers, manufacturers, with aftermarket. I can tell you right now, the EV market is not up. And I can tell you right now, half the people looking at cars are not looking at EVs. But this, what this does is, remember, now, psychologically, somebody goes, yeah, gas prices are up. Everybody's looking at EVs. Maybe I should look at an EV now, too, because they're getting so popular. Maybe I can get a good deal on one.
Total
and they start planting seeds in people's heads in order to get them to go look at things with basically indirect marketing. So, yes.
Tell the big lie.
And then remember, this is also, too, without the $7,500 tax credit that everybody was getting. That's
not anymore,
too. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, this is bogus. And something else I want to cover now. This is an interesting topic that it came up to. I wanted to bring this up. I'm going to cover this right here if I still have it. Where did it go, Obi? Yes, this is interesting. Remember I told you guys earlier the energy suppliers abandoning Lake Tahoe residents to serve data centers. We're trying to figure out more about this story, though. They're saying they're going to have to find a new center on this. This just came out now randomly is that Lake Tahoe's fire restoration plan, apparently they had a big fire earlier this year, plans to use Roundup across thousands and thousands of acres all around Lake Tahoe now.
Why?
The year-long investigation now looking at the U.S. Forestry Service Lake Tahoe Basin Management says they're going to use a controversial herbicide across thousands of acres. They're saying the herbicide has been long controversial. However, it's going to kill shrubs and hardwood vegetation to compete with replanted conifers after fires and logging operations.
Well, how are they planning on doing this from the air? How are they going to do all that at land? With
that's
a hand
what
sprayer?
I said. They're planning on spraying like 4,000 acres. And they're talking about here the report the U.S. Forestry Service relied heavily on a study later retracted after allegations had been ghostwritten by employees of Monsanto. And so I don't know if this is tying in to aspects of what's going on. If the boys that love breathing free air, if they've got something else lined up for Lake Tahoe, that's why they're getting this EV company, this electrical grid company to cut it out. When they're spraying stuff. I don't know what they're doing with this, but I have a feeling that there's two tying together because this is not coincidental. They're not going to spray 4,900 acres.
You know, when I see this picture, I see Carson City and Lake Tahoe, I think of Bonanza with Ben Cartwright. And they did show with that dog. They have hundreds of thousands of acres. It was a bunch of it was on Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
Great show.
Now, apparently, Lake Tahoe's not even getting electric. So.
Well, I don't believe any of that.
I don't know.
There's too much money out there again.
There's a lot of money out there.
By the way, you know, Israel's condemned now for the monstrous treatment of Gaza activists. And this is a big article from The Telegraph. It says, politicians around the world have criticized Israel after footage emerged showing government minister mocking handcuffed detainees. They've got him on their face down, crawling around. It's horrible. Israel was widely condemned for the monstrous and unacceptable humiliation of activists who were detained after trying to deliver humanitarian aid by boat to Gaza. They're trying to bring food.
Literally.
Yvette Cooper, the foreign secretary, says she was truly appalled by a video posted by some guy named Ben-Gur, the Israeli national security minister, in which he taunted protesters. They knelt on the floor with their wrists tied, their heads on the floor. We have demanded an explanation from the Israeli authorities and made clear their obligations to protect the rights of our citizens and all of those involved. Around 430 protesters from more than 40 different countries were filmed in a makeshift detention area in the port in the deck of a ship. The minister waved a large Israeli flag and mockingly told the detainees, "Welcome to Israel. We're the masters of the house." You know, I have to be careful with what I say. We're on YouTube now. But but you already know how I feel about all this. Oh, by the way, the groveling Seattle mayor admits that she made a mistake telling the people and the citizens of Seattle to boycott Starbucks, which is their headquarters. Let me tell you a funny story.
I don't like Starbucks, but when that's the headquarters of a company.
Way back when, I went into Seattle and did a seminar. There's like 25,000 in the seminar. I forgot who I was speaking with, and I got up and talked about the top 10 foods never to eat. Number 9 is coffee. And I nailed coffee in front of all of those Starbucks employees. And the sales were, they were awful. And I told one of my production people, I said, well, my sales are awful here with this Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. It's horrible. And they said, dude, this is the headquarters of Starbucks.
Read the room sometimes.
You might have wanted to put a different thing on number 9 on the top 10
list.
Maybe
caffeine
and
products.
Like, well, why didn't anybody tell me this? Well, apparently the groveling Seattle mayor now is admitting she was wrong to call for a boycott of Starbucks as the coffee giant has now begun to flee its home city, pull out jobs, and whoa. And now second woke pronouncements come back to haunt her. It's unbelievable. I'm going to post this for you so you guys can read it. By the way, this girl looks like a Well, number one, she's insanely ugly. I hate to look at her. Right? I'm about to get sick, and she can't help her looks. But she's also insanely liberal. I think she's Jewish too. On top of that, which, but that's okay. But she's super liberal, and you know, remember, a lot of communists, you know, wear the little hats, and so she hates industry, and so it's a really big problem. And I look at it, and I go, wow. Now, also, next little story, I've already dug this ditch. Netanyahu's beside himself with rage because Trump doesn't want to start the war back with Iran. He's pitching a fit. Let me explain something to you about this.
It has no public support.
Now, let me explain something to you. This is theater. Trump is showing, I'm the man. I've got some testosterone. You know, I may wear diapers, but I got testosterone. And I'm not going to do what he wants me to do. No, they're going to do whatever he tells them to do because of Epstein and the Epstein files. Just thought I'd mention that. The problem is they put a pause on it right now because we've exhausted almost all of our Patriot missile battle systems. I mean, now they're increasing the production facilities for that to make it faster.
Well, and we've got to spend more time now because the Department of Justice now is launching an anti-Semitism advisory committee that it just released on May 10th. They're doing a 15-city tour. You guys will like this. It's a National Awareness and Act tour where they're going to visit 15 cities to encourage reporting of any anti-Semitism between law enforcement, federal agencies, and Jewish communities. You guys will love this. They're actually going right here, and they're going to be addressing anti-Semitism in K-12 schools and teachers' unions to ensure students are protected from discrimination and harassment.
Go back to the first one. I want to show you. I was reading this in the first place. Listen to that. And promote interfaith opposition against anti-Semitism, including from Baptists, Catholics, and Muslims. Now, good luck with the Muslims. Good luck with the Catholics.
Yeah.
Now, the Baptists will be fine with it because they're all about the Schofield Reference Bible. But the Catholics and the Muslims, not so much. Catholics aren't being taught, you know, eschatology the way these other people are being taught eschatology. And the Muslims, they have a special love for the Jews to start with.
I thought I would just throw that out there. Considering this is going to be a multi-million dollar joint venture out here.
You know, it's funny to me. You know, they're going to go to 15 cities, right? And they're going to have a little group of people to talk to. And it's millions and millions of dollars. Now, think about it for a second.
Oh, yeah.
I could go to 15 cities. I could do it for probably a couple $1,000 if I really wanted to.
A pop.
Yeah, we're gonna have a meeting at the local town civic center, which is gonna be free.
You'd be all in like $100,000 for all 15 cities. Like, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
And speaking of those things, the little hats, like also to the executive order that we heard about. You remember when Trump got in office, right?
Right.
And he just did a trove of executive orders, and
some of them were actually pretty good.
Some of them were great. Some of the ones he did, we didn't really understand, right? So there was one executive order. It was almost exactly a year ago, May 2025. Executive Order 14318, accelerated federal permitting of data center infrastructure. I had a friend of mine, Orlando, works at AI. He sent me this last night because I asked him, I said, how the heck are the city commissioners and county commissioners getting these AI data centers even approved without any type of environmental research impact
studies? EPA permitting.
Yeah. Right here. You'll find out. You'll get a kick out of this. So the overview goes into detail on how it instructs federal agencies to identify and remove procedural and regulatory obstacles that slow the permit and approval of data centers. One of those on here, it says environmental review times for qualifying data are to be accelerated. Listen to this, too. Agencies with authority over federal land, energy transmission, and grid interconnection must prioritize data center permit applications. Federal agencies must review and identify permitting bottlenecks affecting any data center infrastructure. And this is the one that I like. I had to look this up to figure out exactly what it meant. No direct financial penalties are now specified. Compliance is enforced through executive chain of command accountability. What does that mean? Because I thought the same thing.
They can do anything they want to do. Nobody's going to get fined.
This approach marks a shift towards a government's model that relies on corporate self-regulation and executive oversight rather than strict legislated financial penalties, meaning they come in and go, oh, we went over a protected waterland in Florida. Normally, this would be probably a $2.5 million fine by the EPA, by OSHA, and by every other agency. But we can't fine you. So we're going to say, bad data center, bad. You know it was bad. Don't do it again, okay? Just don't do it again. Okay, we won't do it again as they go and do it again. There's no financial penalties.
You know, it's interesting. There's a local.
There's never been something like that that's happened, by the way.
There's a local university, I'm not going to mention any names, here in town that they had to expand their baseball stadium
yep.
by like 50 feet. And the problem is some of it was going to encroach into a retention pond. And they had a big drain in the retention pond. And in case the retention pond drained over, it would drain into the city sewage system.
Okay.
And now it had never overcroached, even on with three hurricanes. It never
there
did.
It is. It was a backup of a backup.
It was a backup of a backup. It had never been used.
Right.
But they were told, if you touch it, we're going to fine you. And it took years to get this thing approved. And they couldn't get it through EPA without doing a major revamp in engineering costs with the hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, to redo the retention pond.
Yeah.
That's how powerful the EPA is for organizations. But now suddenly, data centers, it doesn't matter.
No direct financial penalties. Compliance is enforced through executive chain of command accountability. This is the actual executive order, by the way. This is it. This is what's saying on here. You know, I remember those. I was looking at property on Polk City years ago. I think you may have went with it. It was 20 acres.
Lake water.
Yeah, they had all this big swamp with all these cypress trees around it. And I talked to the owner of the property, and I said, this part kind of encroaches where I wanted to have my driveways. I was going to build out there. Never did. Never bought the property. But I said, can I just go in and I'm going to cut down like 20 of these cypress trees and backfill it.
No,
he goes, whoa. I didn't hear you say that. I'm like, you would have thought I was talking about killing somebody. I'm like, I'm going to cut some trees down. He goes, you don't touch cypress trees. I'm like, this is going to be my property. He goes, no. He goes, that's protected wetland. He goes, if you touch a cypress tree in there, he goes, they do overhead monitoring with satellites and drones. If you take out a swath of these cypress trees, they will know. I said, who's they? He goes, Swiftbud. I'm like, why are we whispering? I said, we're on like 50 acres. He's like, no, you don't deal with Swiftbud. He said, we'll come in, lock you out of your property, and fine you into an oblivion until you finally pay it if you do any of this stuff to this little wetland with a cypress tree. And I thought, well, that's a bit invasive. Somebody could tell me what I can and can't do on my own property. He's like, yes, I'm going to pass on this. I never made an offer. Executive Order 14318 gives data centers pretty much the carte blanche community to do whatever the heck they want, wherever they want, and there's no significant fining. That's unprecedented, by the way, with this level of infrastructure that's being basically installed. We're not talking about somebody coming in like, we want to put a dock over a lake. You know, we're going to cut out some trees or weeds. We're talking about putting in 20 and 30,000 acre buildings. Utah's 44,000 acre building. Going to use up more power than 2.5 times the entire state. That is how they're getting permitted. Is it doggone executive order that Trump put in now?
By the way,
answer your questions.
EVs are the biggest boondoggle in human history.
There you go.
As AutoGuide notes, rising fuel prices are once again reshaping the American car market, but not quite in the way they expected. People aren't rushing to electric vehicles. They're rushing towards hybrids.
Okay.
This is as it should be. Consumers worry about gas prices have options. One of them is in a hybrid, which has an internal combustion engine, but can also run on batteries, extending the car's fuel economy and range, sometimes significantly, without forcing drivers to sit around for an hour and a half at a charging station. There's nothing wrong with this unless you're an environmental extremist. That means you're a human being. You're producing carbon because you're breathing. So you better stop that, peasant.
Stop breathing.
Cows,
right now.
Cows,
it's our free air. It's not your free
cows
air.
Cows can't pass gas because we're going to kill all the cows and inject you with ticks on you, make you sick with meat.
But the data center out in Utah is going to have 320 massive 3.25 megawatt generators that run on diesel fuel anytime they need it.
So. There's nothing wrong with this unless you're an environmental extremist. To them, hybrids are the terrible choice because, as the NPR once explained, they are a detour at the worst, an obstruction in the fight against climate change. Got that? Hybrids aren't a choice, they're an obstruction. Leftists always end up as totalitarians. That's the communists. Consumers have given their answer about EVs. Absent some technological miracle or gas prices perpetually in double digits or Gavin Newsom becoming president, EV will never be anything more than a niche product. And that's the absolute truth. And again, Austin said at the beginning, if you're going to buy a golf cart like that, that's all it is, and you want to stay local with it, it's not that big of a deal. It's not if you lease it, because you're going to lose your bottom if you don't lease it. You buy an $80,000, $100,000 EV, and you try to go trade it back in, number one, most dealers won't even take it. They run away when you try to trade it. And everything's based and dependent upon the battery life that's left in them and the length of time the batteries have been in service. Because if you take a car that's 10 years old as an EV, it's pretty much done. It basically going to cost more than the car's going to cost more to fix from batteries than it's worth. They're going to total it. And then you got to deal with all that lithium in the landfills.
Yeah.
What do you do with all that lithium? That stuff is super toxic.
Well, on top of that, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing with a lot of this stuff is the long-term impact of a lot of these EV vehicles that they just cook off after 10 years, like you said. I mean, that's why they total them most of the time after a few years if they get in a minor accident, because there's any remnants of any type of crack or damage or even physical damage on the outside of those batteries, they have to scrap them because they're so stinking dangerous. I mean, all the firefighters that I know, they've told me they have to have full-on EV vehicle training now in order to put EV vehicle fires out, because they take about four times the water of a normal vehicle to put it out. Full new training protocols for it. And so, once again, this was never supposed to be about environment. Never has, never will. I mean, every agency and every military branch can use DPF deleted trucks. They buy them directly from Ford. It's called Option 91. They order them with DPFs deleted and EGRs deleted directly from the Ford facility. I have photos of them with the sticker. Not for U.S. highway use, but they're exempt. They do anywhere they want.
They get great mileage.
Oh, they get insane mileage. And guess what? The turbos don't cook off. They don't have to replace the engines after 50,000 miles because they overheated. That's the crazy part about it that you have. But yet again, you see these things, and this is why I don't respect a lot of regulations. Because they come in and they say it's rules for thee, but not for me. We do whatever the heck we want. Like this with the AI data centers. We could go out and dredge out the doggone Everglades. Doesn't matter. No fines. I go in and somebody's property, you cut down a cypress tree. Oh, my gosh. Whole world comes to an end. It's because the peasants aren't allowed to have freedom of choice. You got to be controlled by rules, regulations, and laws. And most of those are not followed by the people that govern us now. That's no longer a republic. That's a tyrannical regime.
There was a general who lived out in Polk City, and he had a bunch of acreage out there, and he had basically had a big sand mine out there, and he had this beautiful blue lake, and he wanted to get some regular water from the swamp into it. So he took dynamite and blew a big canal. Got in trouble for it, too. Had to fix it.
Did he actually get in trouble for that?
By the way, Moskovitz, who's Jewish, has now said he's representative. He's a congressman in Florida. He's a Democratic congressman in Florida.
Dual citizen.
I don't know about that. Moskovitz's anti-Netanyahu movement is more than happy to embrace anti-Semites. Well, I don't know what that means. It means anti-Arab, anti-Jew, anti-everybody. On Monday's broadcast of the MS Now's morning show, Representative Jared Moskovitz, Democrat out of Florida, said that the anti-Netanyahu movement is happy to embrace all of these anti-Semites. So if you say you disagree with them, you're an anti-Semite. Moskovitz said, people say, well, look, we should be able to criticize the Israeli government. Of course, go criticize them. And people are going to say, well, just because we're critical of Israel and critical of Netanyahu doesn't make us an anti-Semite. And I would say, of course not, but the problem is, they're the ones conflating it, not us. They're the ones, you see, they go right from Zionists to Jews super quick, and the anti-Netanyahu movement is more than happy to embrace all of these anti-Semites. He added a negative trajectory on anti-Semitism is because, one, we're allowing foreign countries to just own the social media space and fill Americans' minds with propaganda to foment the problem. If Hitler, got to bring Hitler in, had TikTok, I don't know that any Jew would ever have survived. Quite frankly, it is the ultimate propaganda tool. It was so funny. I'm going to stop. Israel bought TikTok. It's just funny to me. It's just like rules for thee and not for me.
Exactly right.
By the way, thanks for supporting Health Masters. Not sure if this show is going to make YouTubers stay up for more than 30 milliseconds. Thank you for supporting us. Try that stack that I did this morning with the vitamin C, the quercetin, the two purple sticks. Okay, and the probiotics that I put into 350 billion. That's a great stack. I feel really good today.
Do you?
Yeah, that's why I guess I've been so jovial and so happy.
So jovial, so happy. Well, again, and you can always stack too. This is something very simplistic. One, the one you have is pretty. That's stack. Link to that together. Pretty simplistic though. A lot of times I run the Fit Food protein. You'll see that the chocolate Fit Food or the vanilla with a scoop of the acai. You can do either a stick packet if you want the boxes. Or you can run the canned packet. Both options are on there. They just changed the price a little bit at the top or on the side of here and pick vanilla or chocolate. But this is a very popular kit where you're getting a big discount, you're getting Fit Food, and you're getting a purple stick. If you're trying to have if you're one of those fast-paced people, you don't like to eat eggs or eat a big breakfast, this is a great, really quick, really cost-effective breakfast. Two scoops of protein with one scoop of purple sticks in a shaker out the door in less than, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. I mean, you can have this shook up and drunk, or you can take it with you if you want. I mean, within literally a matter of minutes. And so a very high-paced, high-active shake, breakfast, ultimate morning energy kit. This is it if you want to keep it simplistic. So check it out at healthmasters.com on sale. You can either run the cans or you can run the sticks on it. And, yeah, give me some feedback. I only got one review, and it's great on this. Everybody loves it. It's pretty much what my go-to in the morning first thing if I don't want to do a big, big shake with, like, GHI and all that. And which also, I love that.
Now, what I do recommend, though, if you do this the first thing in the morning, it's great. It's a great way to – it's a good stack. Always make sure you eat eggs later on in the day.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And make sure they're the full eggs. Don't ever eat powdered eggs. That's the study that was done showing the increased risks of heart disease. You never put powdered eggs in your body. And if you go to a restaurant, you always make sure you watch them crack the egg.
Real eggs.
Or I'm talking like a hotel. Don't let them give you powdered eggs. Those things, they just manufactured weird things they pour out of the can. Don't do those.
Swine fattening feed.
Yeah, nasty.
What it is. So be sure to check out also to the Prostate Support on sale product of the week. Have a blessed evening, my friends. And we'll talk to you on this show tomorrow as always.
Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. I love you guys.